Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. It's a beautiful day here in Texarkana, Texas, and everybody is getting excited for the Thanksgiving holidays. As I mentioned yesterday, schools in our area are out already. When I was a kid, we used to go till Wednesday, and you would get Thursday and Friday off, but now they get the whole week, and so everybody's kind of in holiday mode, and that's not a bad thing. Hey, I wanted to read to you from Proverbs chapter 31, such an important passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 8, the Scripture says, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy." We want to talk today about the issue of abortion. There's nobody in our world more needy and more afflicted than the unborn. And they need for people who believe in science and scripture and common sense, knowing that life begins at conception and that little one in the womb is a creation of God and a life, and we need to protect that life, and we need to speak up and fight for that life and for that one to live, to defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. And we have on the program today an attorney, a constitutional attorney named Bradley Pierce. He's president of the Foundation to Abolish Abortion and the co-executive producer of Abortion Free, the docuseries. And Bradley is a husband and a father of, get this, 11 children, and he lives in the Austin area. So, Bradley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, so I read that right. 11 children?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're very blessed.
Yeah. So, what are the ages of your 11?
Well, this is where people are already shocked by the 11. Our oldest is 13, but we have two sets of twins in there as well.
So wow!
Our youngest is almost a year.
Okay, now do you have help from family?
Thankfully, we do. You know, we have my in-laws live right next door to us, and that's a big help to us. And then we have a loving church family that's also a help.
Yeah. Okay, Bradley, just curious, so in the Austin area, where do you go to church?
We meet in Cedar Park. It's called North Gabriel Christian Assembly.
Okay, good. And you've been an attorney for how long?
Since 2007.
2007. Okay, when did you get involved to the extent that you are now in the fight for the unborn?
Yeah, well, you know, I was always raised, thankfully raised in a Christian home and raised for life. And then I really got involved in this really in 2016. You know, I'd always voted for life, but then for several years, I started seeing, you know, once I became an attorney, started looking at actual pro-life legislation and things we were trying to pass here in Texas and around the country, and really became discouraged. It seemed like we were conceding a lot of principles. We were conceding that Roe versus Wade was the law of the land. We were conceding that we would say that a fetus is a person from fertilization, you know, a baby is a person from the very beginning. But the laws that we would write, you know, as a pro-life movement wouldn't treat them that way. And so I got involved in 2016 in helping advance in the Republican Party here in Texas a platform plank calling for, you know, abolishing abortion regardless of Roe versus Wade, and then providing equal protection to children. And you know, which the pro-life legislation wasn't doing. And so that's how I got involved. And so that's why I call myself an abolitionist, because I don't think that we should be regulating abortion like it's health care, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, but we should be outlawing it as criminal homicide, because that's exactly what it is.
Right. Well, what I don't understand, Bradley, in the situation with Roe v. Wade, so I've heard Donald Trump say this many, many times, and he doesn't have a strong conviction about this, obviously. He was running on pro-life principles in 2016, but it just seems that was the pragmatist in him said, oh, okay, this seems to be a winning hand, and then he's flip-flopped. But what I don't understand is the big deal about, okay, we overturn Roe v. Wade and send it back to the states. How does that help anything?
Well, in some ways, it was an abdication of the court's duty, of the Supreme Court's duty in that case. You know, if we were, you know, 200 years ago, maybe that was the right decision. But today, you know, after the Civil War, we have the 14th Amendment. And it says that no state shall deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And so we've given authority to the federal government that on the issue of equal protection of the laws, that states are required to equally protect everybody, every single person. Well, I believe that from the moment of fertilization, that human beings are that we're persons. That's when, you know, life begins.
Right.
That's when we're made in the image of God, and you know, when new DNA, and so that's that's when personhood begins. And so the court had a duty, I believe, to say not just let's overturn Roe versus Wade, but at states you're required to provide the equal protection of the laws to babies from fertilization. And that's what I was actually had the privilege of getting to write a brief and submit that to the court in the Dobbs case. And we argued, yes, overturn Roe, but then, yes, also equal protection. But the court did one but not the other. And so now it was kind of like a washing of the hands. You know, the court said, oh, all right, this is now out of our hands. We're going to give this back to you states. And the way that I think about it, I mean, if you think about this historically, you know, comparing this to, like, the abolition of slavery, you know, we're not even in 1850 where, you know, there were many states that had abolished slavery. We're more like in 1750 when not a single state had abolished slavery. That's where we are today. Not a single state in America has actually abolished abortion. It's still alive and well in all 50 states.
Okay, so have the numbers gone down since the overturning of Roe v. Wade? The number of abortions?
I would love to say that they have, but the data that we're seeing shows that they're the highest in over 10 years nationwide. And even in the states where there are no more abortion clinics, the babies from those states being aborted are in some cases higher. In some cases, it's dropped very, very slightly. But overall, across the country, the numbers are overall up.
We're talking to Bradley Pierce, president of the Foundation to Abolish Abortion and the co-executive producer of Abortion Free, the docuseries. Bradley, tell me about the series. What is that about?
Yeah, it's a six-part series, 30-minute episodes following Megan as she travels around the country trying to find out what's really going on after the overturning of Dobbs. And she interviews pro-life leaders, and she looks at the numbers, and she even orders abortion pills along the way and examines how easy that is and legal that is, even under pro-life bills. And so it's really just to let people know, hey, what's going on, and how should Christians be dealing with this, and what should we be thinking about it? And because what we're being told by a lot of the pro-life establishment is not actually the case. So it's really trying to dig and get to the truth of what's really going on after Dobbs.
Well, Bradley, would it be fair to say that what has been uncovered through the overturning of Roe v. Wade is that many pro-life groups are not really on the same page as what we thought it meant to be pro-life? Pro-life means, hey, we believe life begins at conception and we protect that life from the point of conception through life. But it's many pro-life organizations are not like that. Explain the difference.
Yeah, well, you know, I believe, and what equal protection means, you know, practically, is that the same laws to protect born people should protect people before they're born. So it's already illegal, it's already a crime for someone to murder me or to murder you, right, because we're born. But the laws against murder do not apply to people before they're born, even under the pro-life bills. And so that's what we've seen. You know, I think that's what a lot of people have now seen after Dobbs, is that the major pro-life establishment organizations, the ones that are actually behind the lobbying, I'm not talking about, like, you know, pregnancy resource centers and all that. I'm talking about the actual lobbying, legislatively focused organizations, that they actually do not believe in equal protection. They don't believe that the same laws to protect people before they're born, after they're born, should protect them before they're born. And they even fight against that. I've been a part of, as an attorney, drafting legislation for states around the country. And every time one of these bills gets introduced, it's the pro-life organizations who end up coming out against it and getting that bill killed. And because they don't actually believe in treating a baby, you know, the same way that we treat all other people.
Yeah, so Bradley, why would they work against that?
Well, I think a lot of it's pragmatic. I think it's kind of like you were talking about President Trump, that, you know, when he ran the first time, he said he's pro-life, with exceptions for rape and incest, which I think that's a huge deal that people didn't talk about enough, a huge problem. But this time he went, you know, way further and say, you know, basically avoiding the issue altogether, and then coming out and saying, you know, I would even veto a bill, you know, that was a national abortion ban. Because that's where he believes, you know, that's in order to bring more people to the party and get elected. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the issue that the Democrats can win on. So let's take it away from them by basically agreeing with them.
Right.
And you know, and so that's what we're seeing a lot of the pro-life organizations that are, you know, they're trying to have a seat at the table and they're trying to have that power, and so they're compromising principles in order to get it.
Bradley, you may have seen, this was from a few weeks ago, I played it on the program a couple of different times, about Bill Maher and in his program. He was talking about he can have respect for the position to abolish abortion, because he said, you know, if they view a baby as being a person. And so he said, okay, so if life begins at conception, which is their position, then they would say the reason we're against abortion is murder. And he said, I can respect that. Obviously, he agreed that just because you kick it to the states doesn't make any sense. So it's unlawful to kill a baby in Texas, but it's okay to do it in California. It's either murder or it's not murder. And he says, I can see it as murder. I'm just okay with that. Are you familiar with that quote?
Yes. Yeah. It's like, you know, murder. And he's like, and it kind of is. I'm just okay with it. You know, there's already 8 billion people in the world. We won't miss you.
Right.
And, very cold, you know, position. But that's, you know, what's extra sad about that is not only is he supporting murder, but what's extra sad about it is that it reflects that he's being consistent, really, with his principles. That,
right.
Hey, he thinks it's okay that the mom's rights trump the baby's rights, and if the mom doesn't want the baby and wants the baby dead, then the mom can do that. And he's being consistent with that.
Right.
That's evil, but at least it's consistent.
It's consistent, and what I appreciated about it was he's honest. Those other people are not honest. If life doesn't begin at conception, well, when does it begin? It doesn't make any sense to put it at any other time. Well, Bradley, we're up against a break, but we'll be coming back after the break with more. Bradley Pierce, president of the Foundation to Abolish Abortion and the co-executive producer of Abortion Free, the docuseries. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Hey, we are called by God to stand up and fight and speak for those in need, to speak for the unborn.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR. We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
How did the first pilgrims celebrate Thanksgiving? A look at the first Thanksgiving prayer provides a great reminder of the holiday. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another Stand in the Gap Minute. History records that Governor Bradford recorded the first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the Pilgrims settled in Plymouth. One key phrase of his prayer records that God has granted us the freedom to worship Him according to the dictates of our own conscience. And while many today view Thanksgiving as just a holiday to eat turkey and watch football, its origin celebrated our nation's freedom to worship God. Let me encourage you to reconnect with this original Thanksgiving prayer. As you gather for the holiday with loved ones, remember to express appreciation for America's religious liberties. More than ever, we need to remember our religious freedoms and express them. May God continue to bless America as we seek to worship Him. Join us for more biblical resources at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to attorney Bradley Pierce, president of the Foundation to Abolish Abortion and the co-executive producer of the series Abortion Free, the docuseries. And Bradley, let me ask you this. With regard to this series, you said it was six 30-minute programs. What's the purpose of the docuseries?
It's to open the eyes of the church. You know, we believe that abortion in our country is really the result of the people of God not being salt and light the way that we should be. And, you know, some of that is because, personal sin and apathy. But some of that's also just because of ignorance. We don't really know what exactly is going on or how we should be thinking about it biblically. You know, many pastors are not shepherding the flock on this issue like they should be. And so the purpose of the docuseries is to open the eyes of Christians to see, here's what's really going on, here's why it's going on, here's what the church should do about it. And it's also, we want pastors to watch it too, that, hey, here's how we should be teaching and shepherding the flock on this issue.
How do people watch it, Bradley?
You can go to abortionfree.com, and access it there, or you can go directly to our YouTube channel, The Foundation to Abolish Abortion, and watch it there.
All right, very good. As you've been working on this, let's talk about the church. What do you see kind of across the board? Do you give the church a passing grade or a failing grade as it deals with the issue of abortion?
Well, I'm going to give it a failing grade for the, you know, since 1973 and even before on this issue, that we have not been approaching it, you know, the way that I believe God says to approach it. And, you know, like the passage that you read, you know, we need to be speaking up. And we've got a genocide going on in our country. There's over 70 million, you know, aborted in this country, just that we know of. It doesn't even count, you know, many other areas where embryos and babies are being discarded. But those are just the actual, you know, reported abortions. And yet many of us have been asleep about it. Many of us have been apathetic. And even the way that we have tried to approach it legislatively or politically has really denied the power of God and what he says to do about it. For example, God says repeatedly in the Old Testament and repeatedly in the New Testament that God does not show partiality, and we are not to show partiality. You shall not show partiality in judgment. And what he means by that is not like, you know, don't go part ways. What the word partiality means is judging people based not upon the merits of their case or the facts of the case or what they've done, but judging them based upon some external factor like, oh, you're white or you're black or you're male or you're female, or in this instance, you're born or you're not yet born. But the bills that, you know, the pro-life movement's been writing and that we've been supporting and donating to and voting for, you know, for these politicians, is they almost all show partiality. They do not treat a person in the womb and protect them with the same laws as we protect people outside the womb. And so that's what, you know, so we concede principles, we undermine our own arguments, and we can say that a fetus is a person all day long, but actions speak louder than words. When we don't treat them that way, then we lose, and that's what we're seeing.
Bradley, as you've been dealing with this this issue for a long time, what is the argument from the other side? Because it seems to me very clearly that science, scripture, and common sense tells us that life begins at conception. What are the pro-death crowd? What is their argument as far? I mean, my body, my choice is a joke because it's that baby's not your body. But yet they keep on and on and on with that. But what kind of an actual argument? You're an attorney, so, I mean, you're arguing points. What argument do they make to try and tell us that abortion is good and right and fine and scientific and makes sense?
Yeah, well, for a long time it was, like you were just saying, you know, that they would argue that, oh, it's a clump of cells, it's not really alive, things like that. And that's what, you know, if you go talk to a pro-choice person on the street, a lot of them are still going to be repeating the same argument. But really at the, you know, kind of at the thought leader level or the academic level of the pro-choice movement, the arguments have shifted. You know, many of them concede that, yes, this is human. Yes, this is life. Yes, this is human life. But the rights of the mother trump the rights of the child. You know, and it's kind of a might makes right. You know, the mom is bigger, you know, and stronger, and she gets to decide. And so, you know, the my body, my choice is, you know, it's, yeah, our counter argument is like, well, no, there's another body in there. But the at the top level, the pro-choice, you know, thinking is today is like, oh, actually, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there's another body in there. That body is my body too. Kind of like, right. You know, it's my slave, my choice. And so by dehumanizing, you know, the babies, they can get away with that. But even by not dehumanizing, by saying, okay, yeah, they are human, but this human's rights trump that human's rights. And this human's rights not to be pregnant from that one. And, I mean, you can see the implications of that, go even beyond the wound. And
yeah,
that's even more dangerous.
So Bradley, for the person that says, well, I'm pro-life, but I'm not to abolish abortion. You're too extreme, and so I don't want to be that extreme. Basically, that person, I know, people are going to be different across the board, but
yeah,
that position is going to say, Bradley, your position can never work. It can never win. So if we go your way, we lose across the board. Am I right in kind of framing that? Is that how they're looking at the abolish abortion position?
There's certainly people who make that argument, yeah. And it's what I say is, look at what the pro-life movement's done for the past, 51 years. How are we doing in the country today? Not just on this issue, but across the board, the moral fabric of our country. How are we doing? How has that worked? And it hasn't. We have, like I said, we have more abortions now. We even did 10 years ago when we still had Roe, and the moral fabric of our country has decayed significantly. And why is that? Well, it's not just because of how we've allowed abortion, but it's really why. It's because of how we've treated it, that we haven't gone back and said, what does God want us to do? Right? Because ultimately abortion is wrong. It's wrong because somebody with authority says that it's wrong. And that's why whenever we tell someone, don't abort your baby, well, who am I? Who am I to tell you what to do with your body or your baby? Well, I'm nobody. But God says. But a lot of the pro-life movement, even today, in fact, more so today, a lot of it tries to argue, well, yes, many of us are Christians, but don't start bringing religion into it. We need to just argue from science and logic and things like that. And all those things are well and good, but they're secondary. Ultimately, abortion is wrong because God says that it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And God then tells us what to do about it. And whenever we say, no, God, we're smarter than you, we know better than you, that's not going to work, God. We're going to do it our way. We're going to do man's wisdom and not God's wisdom. That's where we get where we are as a country, not just on this issue, but on every issue. Because that's been how we treat every issue, and we totally
right.
jettison God from the political conversation altogether.
All right, so Bradley, how are you treated in terms of your position? Because it seems to me that if you're pro-life, you would say, okay, Bradley and I are on the same page. I don't believe that his strategy is going to help us move the ball down the field, but I believe what he believes. That, in my mind, that seems like that should be anybody that's pro-life. But as I've been reading, it's not like that. Why is it not like that? How can you be pro-life and be a part of a pro-life movement but not want to eradicate abortion?
Well, like I said, a lot of it is pragmatism, wanting political power. And right now, it's not a politically popular thing, even in the Republican Party, in the National Republican Party, at least. Yes, states are different, but on the national scene, it's not popular. And so, by watering it down, then you can help maintain some of your political power. There's also people that just genuinely, I would say, approach it from an un-Christian perspective. They may be Christians, but they're not bringing biblical thinking into how they deal with issues. And they come into this with all people are basically good mentality. And, oh, so these women, that are doing this, or even the men who are encouraging them and helping them do this, they're ignorant, they're weak, they've been lied to by the abortion industry for many, many years, so they shouldn't be held accountable. And it's like, well, no, ultimately, yes, there are people who are forced to abortions, and they shouldn't be prosecuted or anything like that. There are people who are pressured into it, But, you know, the number one reason for abortion is sin. It is that in our sin nature, you know, in bondage to sin, separated from God, you know, we choose death rather than life. And that's why we need Christ. You know, that's why we need the gospel. That's why we need a Savior, is because of that sin. And so, but a lot of organizations and pro-life leaders act like, no, everybody's basically good. They just do the bad things when they're, in, you know, forced or pressured into it.
Right.
So that's not really it. And so we need to come at it and viewing humanity and human nature, you know, the way that God does.
Well, we've heard for a long time, Bradley, you know, as you mentioned, President Trump initially was, I'm against abortion except in the cases of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. And rape is a horrible, awful thing, but that doesn't mean you murder the child. Incest is a horrible, awful thing, but that doesn't mean you murder the child. Let's talk about life of the mother, because we heard that from the left, from Kamala Harris, as she would tell these stories about women who died because they couldn't get an abortion and they were, you know, in dire straits. How common is the life of the mother situation?
Well, and you know, like you were just kind of saying, you know, it's still murder. The life of the mother situation, though, it's not. No one's murdering anybody in that kind of situation. In a true medical situation where you have a mom who wants her baby, wants that baby, but that baby's in a place that, you know, the baby can't survive, then the doctors do everything they can to save the life of both. Sometimes that may result in the death of the baby. You know, that's something that, you know, that's not murder, right? That's
right.
Trying to save as many lives as you possibly can. So, to me, that's not an exception to abortion, and that's what most, you know, pro-life doctors would say, and that's what most laws would say. Like that's not an abortion in the sense that the intentional taking of human life.
Yeah, an ectopic pregnancy would be the same thing. That's not an abortion.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So today, you know, that you see the pro-abortion side, they're trying to say, oh, look, since there's no abortion, women are dying, and that's not the case. You know, the one case that they pointed to in Georgia recently is because, this woman did perform an abortion that was legal for her to do in that state, and then, there's some complications when the hospital did treat her. So there's a lot of fear mongering going on that, hey, if you don't let women murder their babies, then women may die. And
right.
That's not happening. You know, women, I even just saw someone I follow, post yesterday, sadly, that she was miscarrying. And she said, hey, you know, I just want to tell you, though, that I was able to get care. You know, the hospitals weren't turning me away saying, you know, no, we can't help you, you know, because the pro-life laws won't let us. No, she got care, she got help, and all that's still totally allowed, you know, under the bills that we draft, the abolition, equal protection bills, but even under the pro-life laws, you know, that women who are having miscarriages can still get the care that they need.
Well, Bradley, thank you so much for being my guest today. Tell us tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Yeah, they can reach out to us at the Foundation to Abolish Abortion at faa.life. Or if they're in Texas, like you and I are, they can connect with us at Abolish Abortion Texas, abolishabortiontx.org, and they can watch the docuseries, abortionfree.com.
All right. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving with your wonderful family. I still marvel 11 kids. That I had 3, and that's a handful, but 11 would be, whoa. So God bless you. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call, and let's talk. We'll be right back.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
As Christians, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth is relative? It all starts with God's Word. Join us for Activate Summit 2025 at Cadence Bank Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, June 12th through the 14th, 2025. The theme is Biblical Bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture, and it's designed to help you acknowledge the Bible's authority and submit to the clear teaching of Scripture. Hear from Abraham Hamilton III.
The Lord has planted us here so that we make our space better.
Ed Battagliano.
We use those kind of terms, be the hands and feet of Jesus. What would Jesus do if he were here?
And Alex McFarland.
God created because it was his will.
The main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 through 12. Register for Activate Summit 2025 by visiting activate.afa.net/summit. Enter code EARLYBIRD20 at checkout for 20% off tickets before January 1st.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We have been talking to Bradley Pierce and about the issue of abortion. He's president of the Foundation to Abolish Abortion and the co-executive producer of Abortion Free, the docuseries. So I encourage you to check out that documentary series. He said it's 6 episodes, 30 minutes long, and just really details what is going on in America regarding abortion. And since Roe v. Wade, you know, I think a lot of Christians get the idea, okay, we won that great victory and now the battle's over, but it's not over. And we do need to speak up. As it says in Proverbs 31, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Very sad, as Bradley was saying, that in so many churches, pastors don't speak up about this. You know, pastors that didn't talk about anything related to the election. They say, oh, we don't want to get political. Abortion is not, I mean, it's political, but it's moral. And no Christian should be voting for abortion. Now, granted, we had two candidates. They were both pro-abortion. Neither one of them was pro-life. One was so pro-abortion, wanted to have no restrictions on abortion, and the other was wishy-washy on it. But, you know, that's how far we've fallen in America. And Donald Trump was looking at it from a the view of a pragmatist. Well, I have to get elected, and if I go hardline, I'm not going to get elected. As I said earlier, I don't think he has a strong opinion about it. He doesn't have a conviction regarding life. And so that's something that we need to pray for concerning him, because one of the things about that guy is he seems to be open to hearing from Christians. He likes Christians for whatever reason, and he listens to Christians. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to do everything that the Christians want him to do, but you know, you had one party that was anti-Christian and the other party that was open and seemed to be amenable to Christians. So that's what we have today, and that's the ground that we continue to pray over and ask God to do a work and to bring him and J.D. Vance to a true personal relationship, brokenness before the Savior, and faith in the Savior, repentance and faith, and to see the Lord do a great work of revival in America, beginning in the White House and in our government. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And we have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, sir, and I thank you for this ministry and what you just prayed. I think we are all praying that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have an experience with the Lord like they'd never turn around and go the other way.
Yes.
But what I called for is this program. I have written on my bulletin board above my sink, The Value of One Life. It came from a book, and that's what I'm recommending, by Joy Lucius, Precious Pennies. It was a story of the Holocaust and two little girls, and the whole gist of the book is The Value of One Life. And I thought, man, this is perfect for what I just heard today. And I will never be the same, sir, that every day I look at that and I remind myself the value of one life.
Wow, that's cool. Can you give our listeners just a little brief summary of that book?
Of the book? Yes. It was an assignment that a high school teacher gave to a class, and she had them research the Holocaust and find somebody in the Holocaust that they could do a report on. And this one young man found it was two sisters. I don't remember their names right now, but he did a research on them. The whole classroom changed after that assignment. I mean, it's a true story, and I've never read anything like it. But that whole high school class never were the same again because they learned the value of one life.
Amen.
And they presented this to their parents. You know, she had them present it. So,
yeah. How cool. Okay, so Randy Lucius is Joy's husband, and he's the producer of our program. And you can pick up that book, Precious Pennies, resources.afa.net.
Yeah.
So that's right, isn't it,
yes,
Mark?
Sure.
Resources.afa.net? Yes. All right, Precious Pennies. Well, thank you, Linda, for calling that in, and I have not read that, so I will. Is that a... for our listeners, is that a lengthy read or a quick read?
No, it's a small book. It's not, but, you know, it's just one, like I said, that's, I want to get it for every member of my family this year for Christmas because
yeah,
it's just, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
I'll never
Amen.
Be the same after reading it. So.
Yeah, how cool. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for calling that in, and we'll look forward to reading that. Me personally, I'll look forward to reading it. We have Chuck on the line from Mississippi. Chuck, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I appreciate you having Mr. Pierce on with you and dealing with this issue. Praise God for that. You know, so many people are running from it right now, and this is the time to press, as Paul said. We need to press at this point. I've got an idea. I did a lot of sidewalk counseling at the clinics here in Meridian, and obviously the last one that stayed open for so many years. And boy, you met some of the best people in the world out there, turning girls away from this tragedy. And I got involved in doing that. I met a guy named Roy McMillan years ago, and he was constantly at the clinic, as so many were here, and they're my heroes. put them on Hebrews 11. Anyway, I believe that the next step, you know, it's back to the states. Thank God for the Dobbs case. And I thank God that we can do what I'm going to say is we've got to organize and go to our legislators in the state and ask them to pass a law to completely stop abortion so that no drugs can be. I mean, we stop people from shipping illegal drugs into the state all the time, but using them as an abortifacient. We need to go to our legislators and make it illegal to have an abortion in the state of Mississippi, and then go to our legislators. And I go off the scripture where the in Luke 18, where Jesus says, "Hear what the unjust judge says." After this widow has just continuously come to him, and Jesus said, "Listen to what he says." And he said, "I do not fear God, and I don't respect man," I believe is what he said. And so the man, the judge had, and I don't believe our legislators are unjust. I know we've got a lot of good legislators, but we need to bring this issue to the top. There's no more evil you can do to a human being than taking their life. And I believe that if we'll do that, if we'll organize and go to our legislators, get all 82 counties that are represented and get people from those different counties here in the state of Mississippi. And let's be the first state to make chemical abortion illegal, make it illegal at the, just like with any kind of drug, but certainly when we know that it is going to be a grief and a horrible thing for a mother to have to look at that she's done this in the future. And that's our job as Christians, is to have God's will done as much as we can on our part, we the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. And may God bless, and may he stir up the hearts of the people, of his people, to stand up against this this terrible evil, and do exactly what the scripture says in Proverbs, to defend the rights of the afflicted and the needy. So God bless you, brother. Well, we have Ron on the line from Ohio. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As I told the lady that answered the phone, my comment is about the phrase that was used earlier about my life, my right. I don't know if I got that quite right. But to some extent, I believe that is true. However, when a man and a woman go ahead with the act of conceiving a child, they have now crossed that point that no longer it is your life and your right. Now you have conceived a child, and that you no longer have that thought or, you know, that right or whatever you call it. So it is our life until we cross that point.
Right. I heard, Ron, I remember years ago, Adrian Rogers did a sermon. I think he called it, he might have done a booklet, Pro-Choice is No Choice. And he said, you know, once you make the choice to have sex, and you conceive a child, now the only choice you have is, am I going to have a live baby or a dead baby? Because you are going to have a baby. And so
exactly.
the choice that, well, I'm not going to have this baby. Oh, yeah, you are. You're going to make the choice then to murder your baby, which is just horrific when you wrap your brain around that. But, you know, we have the opportunity to make a choice, but then we can't choose the consequences of that choice. Once you choose to step off a 10-story building, then you can't write the script of how you're going to do 3 backflips, land on your feet, and get in your car and drive home. It's going to be different from that point. So there are consequences to the choices we make, and we're not able to choose those. But once you, you know, for a woman that might be listening in a crisis pregnancy situation, let me just encourage you. The right choice from this point forward is to have your baby. If you're not able to keep the baby, then there are lots of people who would love to welcome your child into their home and give them a good home. And in our family, we have our second granddaughter is adopted, and she is such a joy to us. We love her just like all the rest of our grandkids, and no different, maybe even a little more special in some ways, because we know that she's God's gift to us in a special way. And so just encourage you, if you're in a crisis pregnancy situation, from this point forward, do what God wants you to do. And God is the God who works all things together for good to those who love God and to those who follow his ways and to who are called according to his purpose. So God bless you, Ron. Thank you for calling in. We have Vicki on the line from Ohio. Vicki, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Go
Great.
Ahead.
I have an adult daughter living in Southern California, and that says a lot right there. She's decided not to speak to me anymore because she's upset about the access to abortion and all the things related to the politics stuff. And she is has been sending me for a few months all these little clips, and as I was looking at them and seeing, like, this person died in Georgia, this person died in Texas, this person died in Florida because of not access or not being cared for. And she's very concerned about that for herself. And I'm saying, you know, odds of that are very low. And I don't really see that full picture from what you're sending. So I think it's just canned stuff she's gotten from her sources. And yeah. I'm just wondering what resources are available for, I'm the fourth mom I've talked to in the last 2 weeks whose daughters have stopped speaking to them. And it's just a national travesty, really. And yeah. I just would like to understand the issues better and be able to, not going to argue with her. I just think I need to be more prepared for if that discussion happens.
Yeah. Great question, Vicki. And that's heartbreaking for sure. Mark, anything on the AFA side that you can think of? Okay. Resources.afa.net may have some things on there, and you can always check out what Bradley Pierce has and check out that docuseries that he's got to learn further about what is going on. He has the foundation to abolish abortion. But, you know, Vicki, there's no pain like family pain. And when you have somebody caught up in that lie of abortion, and they think they're fighting for what is right, and they're fighting to murder another human being, a defenseless, innocent baby. I mean, it's just so sad. But just know that your daughter she's being deceived. She's believing the lies of the enemy, and the thing that will overcome that is prayer. And we speak the truth in love. But once you've done that, you don't keep doing that. You keep shining. We talk about shine and share. So with family, you shine. Once you share, then you shine. You just live it out, and you pray for them that God would bring about changes to their mind, their heart. Hey, the scripture says the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. So just ask God to change her heart and turn it toward him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Tara, I'm sorry in Indiana we did not get to your question, but I appreciate you calling in. And so please call back again next time we have open line. Thanks for all that you do to encourage me in this program. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.